Praise the Lord, everybody.
Now.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the Summit with Adam Tuggle, and we are live right here on the Spirit Alive Network. Yes, we are live, and for the first time ever, we are doing the show right here in my home, away from home. We are airing this show in California on today. Yes, we are mobile on today. I thank God for being here. I thank God for Bishop Cook letting us come once again and bringing you a show on today on the Summit with Adam Tuggle. Today, out of everything that I have witnessed on this week and heard about and throughout the months and throughout the year or throughout the years, everything that we have heard about, today we are going to be talking about a very, very powerful topic on today that has a lot of meaning on what we're going through right now in today's society, in today's world. And some of these things that we are going through today. First off, I want to send my condolences. Everybody that knows that on yesterday, Representative John Lewis passed on yesterday at the age of 80. So we want to send our condolences to his family and to all of the people, to all of his friends and family, all the ones that knew him, all the ones that worked with him. We want to send the condolences from the Summit. Everybody here, we pray for your family, for the family and for the friends that knew John Lewis, in Jesus' name. Now on today, we are discussing, and this is going to be very, very powerful, y'all. We are talking about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And the Lord had me to do this a couple of months ago, last year. I did this on my podcast, and I taught this series on my podcast. And I'm going to, the Lord put it down in my spirit to teach, to bring this again today because of everything that we are going through on today. Now, significantly, you might hear the four horsemen of the apocalypse. You might say, well, what is it? What is the four horsemen of the apocalypse? You might think in the back of our minds, we think, okay, we hear four horsemen. We think of four men riding on a horse. But the Bible, in the book of Revelation, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, and also in the Old Testament in Ezekiel and in Zechariah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, it talks about these four horsemen. Now, before I break this down and before the Lord has me break this down, I want to say something real quick. In this lesson, colors, the colors that are mentioned in this is very, very powerful, and we need to stay focused in this lesson on the colors of why we need to stay focused on the colors is because colors have a very, very big meaning in this lesson. And colors represent a lot of things. We know that the color purple represents the spirit of Christ. Purple has a royal reverence underneath the spirit of Christ. We know that the color red, white, and blue stand for something in this country. It's a proud patriotism. We see the different colors of the different sports teams and the different different things that we do in the day-to-day lives. So these colors that we are about to study are very, very important. I'm going to read Revelations chapter number 6, verses 1 through 8. And when I'm going to try to break this down the way the Lord has me to, and I'm going to start at verse 1, and it reads, And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and I behold a white horse, and he that sat on it, sat on him, had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, the reason why I say these four colors have so much meaning. Number one, first off, before I get into the colors, I want to break down the seals. These are the first four seals of the seven seals that are talked about in the book of Revelation. I'm going to repeat it again. These are the first four seals of the seven seals that are talked about in the book of Revelation. And this is the first seal that John saw the Lord open. When you, at the beginning of this verse, it says, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. We know who the Lamb is because we know that Jesus was the Lamb slain for us. He died on the cross. He was slain for us. So he is the Lamb that John is talking about in the book of Revelation. And Jesus opened this seal. And this is the first seal. And it said that this white horse had a bow and a crown. Now, you might say, well, you said that at the beginning it was talking about a horse. We see in the Bible, we see the word horse, white horse. Now, it is talking about, it does say horse, but these four horsemen spirits that are going throughout the earth right now, and I'm going to give you what these four spirits represent. The white horse represents Catholicism. And this spirit, you might say, well, how does it represent Catholicism? Well, if you look in today's society and underneath what we see as the word religion, who other than church leaders that we see on a day-to-day basis in religious underneath religious powers, who do we see wearing white all the time? The Pope. We see the Pope wearing white. This is one religion that is most talked about. When you are watching the news, you hear about the Catholics and the Catholic religion and things of that nature. You hear about the Pope going through doing things and different things of that Catholic religion. Now, it said that he had a bow. Now, he has a bow, but he has no arrows. In this verse, it doesn't talk about arrows. It just talks about him having a bow. And a crown was given unto him. If you look in the Catholic religion, and if you look at the Pope, given name, Pope Francis, or Pope, I don't know all the Pope's names, but I do know about Pope Francis, so I'll use him. But if you look at the Pope, he wears a tiara on his head that's just symbolic of that crown. And the bow is not a weapon of that we see or we might use as far as like a gun or a sword or whatever or whatnot. But that weapon that they have is their words. They speak so eloquently. So they have a weapon. That bow is represented of influence. They have a spirit of influence. They can influence people that's their weapon of choice, influence. And so when we look at this, he said that he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, his influence is to conquer, and is conquering and to conquer using this weapon. He's using this weapon to conquer, to conquering and to conquer. Now, if we look at the, if we read a little bit further, we see in verse number 3 and verse number 4, because we've already read verses 1 and 2, but verse number 3 and verse number 4 says, "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse, and this was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword." Now, when you talk about the color red, we all know that the blood of Jesus is considered as the color, red. But in this case, it is considered as a communist. And when you think about communism, the word communism or socialism, it's a form of force. Control. It is a spirit of you do what I say, or you don't do anything at all. It's a controlled environment, and so this is what the red horse represents. It represents communism, and communism, and we have communist countries. Yes, we have communist countries, and this is why this is playing out. We see the communist countries playing out even in today's, in 2020, such as China. Now, if you look at China, they have a lot of communistic ways. I think it's one third or one fourth of the country is Christian. They are not allowed to do certain things there as we are here in America. They don't have the same religious freedoms as we do because the country is controlled. Another country is Russia. They control their people in more ways than one. Another one, North Korea. We hear about North Korea all the time. And this is a communistic spirit or a communistic way of thinking that these countries have. They have the communistic way of thinking. Another country, Cuba, has a communistic way of thinking. So when we look at this, these red meaning communism, it is a form of control. It is a form, and it can be a form of war, not just outside of their territories or their homes, but it can be war within. They control within. If they don't do, if somebody doesn't do what they want them to do, they'll kill them off too. It's all about control. It's a forced control. And in somewhat, we see that, and I'm going to put up a disclaimer because I'm not going against any religion or country or whatnot. I mean, we're not doing that. But what we are doing is we're bringing out, this is biblical prophecy that is taking place right now. Right now, we hear it all the time, and God bless his soul, our president of the United States, Donald Trump, has a communistic way about him. I'm sorry, no, I ain't. He has a communistic way about him. We have people in the United States that have communistic ways about them. If you don't do it my way, they have the old saying is, it's my way or the highway. You can't do that. But we have those spirits going out, and this is the red spirit. This is the red spirit, as it talks about in Revelation chapter 6 verses 3 through 4, where it's talking about the red spirit. And in Zechariah chapter number 6 verses 1 through 8, it talks about and we're going to go there, talking about the next one, and I'm breaking this down. But we're going to go diving deeper into this once I break down all of these. But the next one is the black horse. And you might say the black horse. What is the black horse? The black horse is, it does not have anything to do with communism. It doesn't, but it does have something to do with a form of control right here in America. You might say, well, how does it have a form of control to do with America? I'm going to read it. And it says, let me get to it. And this is Revelation chapter number 6, verse 5 through 6. Yes, verse 5 through 6. And when he saw, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pillar of balances in his hand. And I heard the voice in the midst of the fourth beast say, a pillar of wheat, a measure of wheat for a penny, and a third measure of barley for a penny. And I saw thou hurt not the oil and the wine. You might say, well, what is this talking about? Because it's not talking about communism. It's not. And before I do this, I want to also say that the red horse is also talking about communism and socialism. And we're gonna go deeper into that in a minute. But This black horse is talking about capitalism. And we see capitalism going throughout the United States of America. we have capitalist countries. I just named one, the United States. We have another capitalist country, the United Kingdom, New Zealand, Canada. Those are just some of the capitalist countries that exist. And you might say, well, what does capitalism mean? Capitalism is nothing more than trade and economics. And we just saw, and to bring back, we just saw and heard a couple months ago about our president doing a trade deal with China about imports and you know, it's an economic thing. It's to keep the poor poor and the rich rich. This is what capitalism is all about. And this black spirit, it talks about balances. You ever heard that saying, checks and balances? Well, this is what this is. This is what this black spirit is representing. It's representing trade and the economic status of countries. And when the rapture takes place, we know that the 7-year tribulation period will start. And in that 7-year tribulation period, this world will not be ran by, we won't have many different governments anymore. We won't have a government in the United States and a government in China and a government in Canada and a government in New Zealand. But it will be a one-world government. It will be ran by one individual, and we all know him as the Antichrist. He will be running everything. And we all know that he will make an order to have. There will be no money will be non and void when this time happens. It will be a time of where you have to take the mark of the beast. And it will be a time where you won't be able to buy nor sell anything unless you have the mark. Like I said, you won't be able to use money because everything will be in that chip. Trades, everything, all of that will be computer-based. We see it all now. And have you ever noticed the new credit cards and debit cards that they have the chip in them, right? And when they insert that chip, when you insert that card into that card reader, you don't have to have any money as far as, you know, paper money to pay for anything. You could swipe your card and the money comes off. Well, that's what it's going to be it's going to be that's going to be the new norm for after the rapture takes place. And when the Antichrist takes full reign of the earth. Now, let me say this, and I know this is not about the tribulation period, but I'm going to say this right now, and this is true. The Antichrist is already on the earth. He's already on the earth, but he cannot reveal himself as gone on the glory because the church is still on the earth, And as long as the church is on the earth, then he cannot reveal himself. Number one, and the reason why I say that, and I don't mean to go here, but the Lord has taken me here. One of the reasons why the Antichrist cannot reveal himself now is because, number one, I said the church is on the earth. That's number one. Number two is because once he reveals himself, I mean, 1 second, I do mean 1 second after the rapture takes place, the 7-year tribulation period will start. There is no waiting. There is nothing like that. As soon as it happens, and the rapture will be quick. It will be as fast as you can say the word quick. We'll be meeting the Lord in the air. And the Antichrist will take full reign over the earth. Amen? So what this means is this trade and economic status, you won't be able, right now, everybody, you know, you have, and here in California, in my home state, their economic status is a way different because California is, and I'm using California and Indiana, they're on two different economic statuses because the cost of living is higher in California than it is in Indiana. But they're still on the same balance system as far as if you, the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. You still have to have a job. But the pay rate of that job might be higher here in California than it is in Indiana because of the economic status. And this is all that capitalism is, economic status. Billionaires and trillionaires, and you know they're in a high. They're considered as a high class status as far as economics and trade, and can. It seems like they can do more because they have a whole lot more money. This is what this is. Amen. This is what capitalism is. Amen. And we move to the final horse, the final spirit, the green horse. Now, in the book of Revelation, and I'm going to read this verse right here, verse number 7 and verse number 8, it says, "And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat upon him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword and with hunger and with death, with the beasts of the earth." Now you might say, well, you said that this was a green horse. Well, pale, when you look at the colors of pale and you look at the word chloros is another word for green. Chloros or pale. This is another word for green. Now, remember when I said that the white meant the Catholicism. Amen. And what religion do you see almost all the time on the TV? There are two religions. There are two religions that we see all the time on the painted on the TV. Amen? And I'm going to tell you the two. And this is what brings out the green horse. Okay? This is what the green spirit is. This is why I said you have to pay attention to the four distinct colors. Colors mean a lot. When you look on your TV or you hear about the news, you hear and you're talking about world religion and all that stuff. There are two religions, and we've already named one, which is the Catholic religion, but there's another one, the Muslim, the Islam religion. Now, older Islam religion, when you talk about that, is they have a form of control as far as like ISIS and the terroristic groups. They believe in in a good example of this, they believe in sometimes they believe in committing going through with suicide missions for their God. They do it in the name of Allah. They do it in the name of Islam. And what this verse is saying to us is that this pale horse, his name that set upon him was death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword. Now, to kill, he was given power over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword. Now, let me show y'all something. If you've ever noticed on the news, and I've know that some people have witnessed it in their lifetime, where the Islam religion, I mean the terroristic groups, they claim to be doing whatever they're doing for Allah and Islam and things like that. And one of the things that they do on national television is they'll cut somebody's head off or shoot them. Right on national television. Have you ever seen those videos where they commit murder right there in front of the whole world? This is what this is. This is what this is. This is that death. This is that green spirit. If you look in Iraq and Afghanistan, that's over in that fourth part of the earth. This is what this is talking about. This is biblical prophecy coming to pass even right now. Amen. We must understand that in biblical prophecy, it is to show us the signs of the Lord's coming. And if we do not take heed to the biblical prophecies that are in the Word of God, we're going to miss out on some things. Amen? We see it all the time. We see it all the time. We hear about, I was riding in a Lyft one day, and my Lyft driver was from China, and we began talking, and one of the reasons why he left China and came to the United States is because he said he loved Jesus. And there and we're getting back to the red horse, but he said that you cannot go around saying Jesus, or you just can't do it. You have to be basically secretive with it. Otherwise, could be you could be tried for it. I know a bishop that goes to India and different parts of the world to preach the gospel, where Jesus' name is not too fond in those countries. These are communist countries. Amen. Even this certain bishop went to India and was, when he was he was told his father's church to pray for him, because every time he goes over there, because there is a chance that he may not be able to come back. He could be, if they, he said it like this, if they find out that he's preaching the word of God, that he could be killed. These are communistic countries. Amen. India, another form of a communistic country. Because you don't have the same freedoms as the United States. You don't have the same freedoms as other countries. But these are what these four spirits are. And these four spirits exist today. And we must, this is why it's good to read the Word of God. This is why it's good for us to study the Word of God, so that we'll know what is taking place in today's society. There is nothing that's taking place right now that you can't find in the Word of God. There is no problem that is taking place right now. No issue, whatever. It might be the most biggest issue in the world. It might be the most minute issue in the world, but there is no issue that you cannot find an answer to in the Word of God. Some racism is going on. You don't believe me? You have some people that believe that they're better than people because of the amount of money that they have. That's capitalism. That's capitalism. We have communistic ways right here in America. Amen? If don't nobody want to say amen, I brought my amens with me. It's okay. We have capitalism, capitalistic ways. Our thought process can be capitalistic. And that's a bad mentality to have. And we just, look, it's not, we can have a Catholicism mindset. We using our influence and our verbiage and we've seen it before throughout history. We're using our influence, we're using our power to have somebody do what we want them to do. We've seen, whether it be good or bad, we've seen it with great political leaders. They use their influence Dr. Martin Luther King had influence. Amen. He had influence, and he used his influence for the good. We see we've heard of another person, Hitler. Hitler had influence. Amen. But yet, and I'm not saying that they were part of Catholicism. I'm saying that they had Catholicism ways about them, because Catholicism is a form, means a form of influence. Because when you talk about Catholicism and you talk about the Pope, his weapon, like I said before, his weapon isn't using a gun or a sword or whatever military weapon you want to talk about. His weapon is influence, his words. His words. There are some preachers that have Catholicism ways, whether it be good or bad. Amen? Now, if you're using your influence for good, then that's a different story. But if you're using your influence for the wrong reasons, especially if you're underneath spiritual, if you're a spiritual leader, I'm going to say it like I said it before. Woe unto you. The Bible says that. Woe unto you. Woe unto them woe unto the pastors that scattereth my sheep. If you scattering the sheep, woe unto you. You better stop. You better watch it. You better watch it. If you leading the people the wrong way, you better watch it. Woe means woe unto you means there's something God's got something for you. Yes, he's a loving God, but he does not want us scattering the sheep. You're using your influence for your own personal gain. You're doing things for your own personal gain. You don't care about anybody else. Am I describing somebody? It's a mess. It's a mess. But we have to understand that these four spirits are going throughout the earth today. We just read it. We just broke it down. That these four spirits are going throughout the world. Another Catholicism country is North Korea. We hear about, what's his name, Kim Jong-un, whatever how you say his name, I don't know how to say his name, y'all. He's a very, very communistic person. Even though you see these politicians on there smiling and, you know, shaking hands and kissing babies, that don't mean a thing. When you watching them, you better watch their spirits. Shoot! Not only that, watch our own spirits, because we don't want to become we don't want to have a Catholicism mentality either. Because people can have a Catholicism mentality. You can have a Catholicism mentality. You can have a communist mentality, a capitalism mentality. This ain't just talking about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. This is talking about the mindset, because it all deals with the mind. This is all dealing with the mind, because you have to have the thought process first. The Bible says such as a man thinketh, so is he. So if your mindset is that way, then you're going to be that way. you keep pondering on it. You keep pondering on it and you keep pondering on it. Yeah, you're going to be there. Why do you think the Bible says, or you speak a certain way? Or you tell yourself, me and a person was talking about that yesterday. In the book of Proverbs. You know, we have to understand. We have to watch what we say. We have to even watch the way we think. And that's why the Bible says, think on these things. Think on these things. To watch what we say about our children. Don't you can't have a communist mentality when you're speaking about your children. In China, they teach the children of China, some of them teach to have a warlike mentality. Whatever you put in your children. Now I teach my boys. I teach my boys this. This is the way I teach my boys. And I think I've said this story before, or maybe I haven't. But one day, my oldest son, he was at school, and he had just started school. I think he was in his second year of school. And we bought him a pair of Jordans, and he liked those Jordans. He loved those Jordans, and you know everything else, and you know like that. And what he did, it wasn't the fact that he had the Jordans, because we bought him the Jordans. Me and his mother bought him the Jordans. That wasn't the bad part. But the bad part was is when he went and made fun of somebody that did not have any Jordan. And his teacher called me while I was at work. And so me as a parent and me as a father, I felt like I had to deal with that situation, to nip that in the bud right then and there. So I went up there to the school. And what I did was, is I told my son, I said, give me them shoes. Give me the Jordan. And I brought him up there some non-name brand shoes. And I told him to wear them. And I told him this. I said, you don't make fun of anybody that has less than you. Okay? And this is going in here with capitalism. You think you're better than somebody because of the status that you have. And I told my son this. I said, son, this is just because you have Jordans on don't make you no better than anybody else. I said, the person that is making the Jordan, the Jordan name, I said, he makes more money than you. And you know what? You got his name on. You ain't got your name on there. So don't be making fun of nobody that has another person, that doesn't have another person's name on their shoe. First off, I told him, get you a job. Start your own business, get your own shoe with your own name on there. Then probably, maybe then you can talk. But even then, don't talk about nobody that does not have, that has less than you do. When you talk about somebody that has less than you, or you go into this rant of, I'm better than you because I have this and I have that and I got that and I got that status. you're capitalistic. You're capitalistic, and I'm just gonna hit the nail on the head. If a person is doing that, you're capitalistic. If you're trying to force somebody to do something, you're trying to force them. Because here on the summer, we don't force anybody to believe. We just tell you the word of God, and that's it. We just tell you the word of God. If you don't eat, I'm just like Jesus. You can either take it or leave it. Now it's my job to come on the air and say what thus saith the Lord. And after I say what thus saith the Lord, I'm good. But let me tell you this, and we're getting close to wrapping up here, y'all. But let me tell you this. If you don't remember anything I said today, if you don't remember anything I said here today, remember this. Remember, we are nothing without Jesus Christ. He said he is the beginning and our ending. He is the first and the last. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Without him, nothing is possible. With him, all things are possible. Without him, we can't move. We can't breathe. So, without Jesus, we're nothing without him. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter what type of clothes you have on. It doesn't matter what type of car you drive. It doesn't matter what country you live in. Without Jesus, you're nothing. It doesn't matter if you're the president of the United States. It doesn't matter if you're the poorest of the poor. Without Jesus, you're nothing. It's all about Jesus. I don't care if you have multi-million dollars. I don't care if every day you break in multi-million dollar deals, making multi-million dollar deals. I don't care if you the person out there on the street living out on the street looking for a hamburger. It does not matter. All that matters is, at the end of the day, all that matters is that we all must one day, because the Bible says so, we're all one day, we're going to bow. The Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's an old saying in the Apostolic Church that says, why not bow now than to bow later? Because well, either way, you're going to bow. Satan himself is going to bow. I'm going to bow. You're going to bow. But why not bow now than to bow later? Because if you bow later, then you might be the one who's lost. I've said it before and I'll say it again. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? What will you give in exchange for your soul? There are some people that I've talked to some people down through my life, and I've heard them say, "Well, I'm going to hell anyway. There ain't no need for me to." No, you ain't got to go. Hell was not made for you. Hell was not made for me. But it is our point to make sure that we make our calling and election sure. It is our job. It is my job to make sure. And when I say make your calling and election sure, It ain't nobody's job but yours to make sure your calling and election is short. I can't go for you. You can't go for me. And I say it, and I'll even go deeper than that. I said it. I preached a sermon one time, and it was entitled "Enough is Enough." And in that sermon, I said, I love my wife, and I love my children, and I would give my life if my wife or my children were in danger. I would give my life to make sure that they're protected. But when it comes to standing before God, I can't go for my wife. As much as I love her, as much as I love my children, I can't go for neither one of them. They have to go for themselves. I can't go for my mother. I can't go for my father. I can't, and I'm gonna tell you, I love them. I can't go for my grandmother, my grandfather, none of them, and I love them all. I wish I could, but I can't, and they can't go for me. But I love the fact that the Lord has given us ample an opportunity to get ourselves right. And this is what we need to do today. We need to get ourselves right. We need to make our calling and election sure so that we might see heaven one day. In Jesus' name. I hope that this lesson has blessed you. I hope that it has touched you on today.
Yes.
As it states in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way biblically and Bible-based to make it into heaven. This is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace one day, in Jesus' name. I hope that you have a very, very blessed week. I'm still here in California, and I'm enjoying myself with my mother and my grandmother. Continue to pray for me as I go back home on next week, that the Lord will bless me to make it home safely, in Jesus' name. I pray that you have a very, very blessed week next week. I'm sure going to have a blessed one because I'm on vacation, in Jesus' name. So my other job that I work, they can't call me right now. Amen. So
amen.
I love you. Amen. I love you guys. I pray for you guys every single day, and I thank God for coming on, Bishop Cook. I thank you for allowing
God
us
bless.
To come once again on the show, and just to be able to bring forth the word of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. I love you guys. And until next week, or until next time, I hope you stay blessed, and I hope you stay well, in Jesus' name. God bless you, in Jesus' name.